open session. So we've had a couple questions. Any additional questions for Dr. Chisholm before we go back to deliberation?
Just to clarify, so you had previously had what might appear to be a major stroke, and you had you said quite a few years ago, and then you had a smaller stroke in 2021, or are we talking the same?
Almost 13 years ago now, I had what would be described nothing as a massive stroke. I went 6 months with no memory. I was paralyzed for 2 years, and I was told at the end of those 2 years, when I finally go to rehab, that I'd probably never talk again. There's no question that was a major stroke. Then I took probably 6 years off, then I went back to work, and then when I was at work, I had a small TIA that I recovered from within probably 2 days. I think I had to take 2 or 3 days off work at that point.
Okay, thank you. I believe that's a bit contrary to what we were discussing previously. Thank you for the update.
Okay.
Any other questions for Dr. Chisholm? Okay, so Dr. Chisholm, we're going to conclude this portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. We'll now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. So Dr. Wright is the lead.
Like I said, I've already kind of made my feelings clear on this. I don't see anything going on. We don't see any complaints from actual clients. The one patient we have, named Bruce Gagnon, I don't see a problem with the treatment. If we had respiratory issues and we recommend going to an emergency facility, we gave furosemide and we sent them off to an emergency facility. That's pretty sound judgment to me, so I don't see any issues going on here. All I see is people throwing things out that it just seems like it's a tit for tat, and it just seems like accusations, and just, I don't know what it is. I have some choice words that I can throw out here, but this is bad. I don't like this. I don't see anything wrong here. This is just baseless accusations, and now we're not even here to defend it. I don't see anything going on. I'm going to make a vote to dismiss.
Could we dismiss with the ask of please confirming with us once you've settled the DEA drugs that we want confirmation that that has been completed?
Yeah, I mean, that's not wrong. We don't even know if they're his drugs at this point.
He may just respond with, he looked into it, and they're not my drugs. Like, I just want to know that that guy gets handled.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we need to put that in order. I would just ask for that. And
well, it's just it's voluntary.
Yeah, so
you're dismissing it.
And I think I agree with you, but I think we might want to be careful when we say, well, we don't have any complaints about from clients, so therefore there's nothing to worry about. Like, we have taken information from people that work within a clinic and done things on it before. So I think we just need to be careful.
But we also have someone who sent a picture from 2001
during COVID,
which we've already hashed that stuff out.
Right,
so we're trying to throw in stuff and make it fake.
Yeah, I know. That's just kind of how it was couched for this movement.
I agree.
So I just want to make sure that we're clear.
I agree. Yeah, in this one, I agree with you. This is a special case in that regard. But this we get a picture thinking it's something new, and this is from 2021. That's insane. So I don't see anything. But I already made my motion. So, but I agree, and I would like to know if you would voluntarily just let us know what goes on with that Tilazol and control drugs. That would be nice, based on Dr. James's request.
Absolutely, but I have very little to do with that anymore. I don't work there anymore, but I don't know if I could get the information from the Niana. That's the office manager. I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
I think the point is you just need to make sure you're protecting your own DEA license, because
right.
if those were ordered under you, you're responsible for them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct. Those are yours, not theirs. So that's important.
Okay. That's good enough.
Okay, so we have a motion.
A
we'll do roll call vote.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley? Oh, he's recused. Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. The board finds that the doctor's conduct did not violate the Practice Act and does not warrant disciplinary action. The board will provide written confirmation. If you have any questions, please contact the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview.
Thanks, Dr. Chaisson. We're going to go ahead and disconnect the call.
I couldn't hear very well.
Oh,
it's Mrs. Smith.
Dismissed, yes.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Be good. Thanks.
All right, so we do have...
My name is Alana Jaffe.
Okay. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a 2016 graduate from The Ohio State University, and I have been practicing in Arizona. After graduation, I did a one-year internship at ABET Gilbert, and then in 2017, I worked for emergency with... at the time, it was Blue Pearl. And then I stayed with Blue Pearl for about a year, and then I was with the Arizona Humane Society for almost 4 years, and then now I'm at the University of Arizona teaching basically junior year surgery.
Yes. So we have Ms. Solomon.
Yes.
Is the lead for questions.
Yes. So you've been practicing since 2016?
Yes.
Okay. So that's 8 years?
Yes.
And that's all in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, great. Why do you want to serve on the investigative committee?
You know, with teaching veterinary students and trying to, you know, you want to put people out there who are safe and who, you know, can think critically and adjust to things, and so I have been just really interested in, like, you know, what are the pitfalls that we experience as a career and you know, like things like client communication, or maybe there was a gap in knowledge, and so, you know, what are some things that, as veterinarians, we're experiencing that are leading to board complaints, and how can we make it better, and then even going back further, like, wow, how could I, you know, what could I do even teaching with the students to say, hey, this is a pitfall, be really direct in your communication, or if you're taking a job in spay-neuter, for example, be really up to date on, you know, things relevant to, you know, checking for post-operative bleeding, that, you know, these are things that could be an issue if you're not truly sure of what you're doing, how you communicate that with clients, if that makes sense.
So you've talked about what serving on the IC would mean for improving your teaching and to the benefit of the U of A. But what do you bring to the investigative committee? What qualities, what knowledge, what... I'm hearing what you'll take from it, but what are you going to bring to it?
Yes, okay, so, you know, I have experience, you know, I did a one-year internship, experience working with specialists, and we would often have cases referred to us, and so, you know, being able to, you know, critically evaluate a case that was referred to us and say, okay, this is what we have, and what are some areas that could be improved, having, like, kind of a... just like a critical mind to evaluate of where could things be improved. I'm really open to like asking for help. So okay, you know, we have a case that was transferred to us. Like, let's ask the surgeon if, you know, what could have been better about this case. Just being really critical about things. And so I think I, you know, having my background being able to ask for help, taking information, and then being able to evaluate things, like evaluating students and things like that. I feel like I've had a lot of experience with, you know, wanting to, let me gather my thoughts for a second here. So there are times I'm evaluating like a student performance and things like that, and I think to myself, like, okay, this is the performance I have from this student, and is what I have in front of me, like, I'm trying to evaluate it and be fair and just, and, you know, trying to deliver a grade or really help the student. And so, like, I feel like I've been really critical about evaluating my own biases. Like, why do I think I've assessed this person this way? Is there truly something that needs to be rectified? Is this something that I can help with? How can I bring in help? And so I feel like I've really gotten good, or I've really developed and enjoyed that process of, like, evaluating something. And so I feel like I would bring that to the board. Like, some of these cases coming to the investigative board, evaluating where there's potentially a gap to help the case. I don't know if that makes sense.
That's okay. I hear that your evaluation skills. So, thank you. One last question. The meetings are generally, they can last up to an entire day. They're generally on the first Tuesday of every month. So in addition to that, there is preparatory time in reviewing cases and getting ready for the meeting. Do you have any problem with accommodating that schedule, with being present at the meetings consistently or anything like that?
I believe with my current schedule, I don't believe I have an issue. I think with teaching, things can be flexible, and so I think I'd be able to, be able to perform the preparatory time and then be present at meetings.
Thank you. I have no further questions. Do the board members have any questions?
Not really a question. I just, my brother's a firefighter, so the volunteer fire department thing kind of stuck out to me.
Yes.
So you've done that, and you're a licensed EMT, or how does that work with that?
So this was where I grew up in Maryland. I joined the volunteer fire department when I was 17. I did that for a little bit through my undergraduate. Eventually, it was I recognized, like, it was hard to balance all the time with things, and then, like, starting to apply to med schools and things. And but that was a good experience. I really appreciated just, like, a lot of the, like, decision making in the moment there. Like, it was a very objective. Like, this is the, you know, you're number one, your crew is number two, public's like number 50. But, like, how do we make ourselves safe? You know, and keeping making decisions, like, in the moment. It was a great experience. I'm really glad I did that.
Yeah, no. Thank you for doing that. My parents are served by the volunteer fire department right now, too, so. Not that one. no, that stuck out. So, like, well, sorry, are you still a licensed EMT, or are you going to...
Oh, no. So I believe once I moved out of the state of Maryland... and I also didn't, like, renew it, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Animals are better than people, anyway, so...
Yes. I recently went to a human wound care conference, and I was, like, so excited to go, and then, like, the night before the conference, I'm like, oh, I don't think I can look at, like, pictures of human skin. Like, I think it's going to be hard. Still, it was very informative. it was not pleasant.
Well, thank you for that.
I have no further... Any board members have any further questions?
No.
Thank you for being here, Dr. Jaffe, and we have one more person to interview, and we'll be getting back to you.
Yeah, we have more interviews in November as well.
Nice.
So.
Okay, no, that's totally fine. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
That would take us to section 4, number 9.
you know this?
Yes,
one?
I am.
And it's under the name on it, but I'm looking for it.
Yeah. Can we get a quick update from Dr. Paletta as to what's going on?
Sure. Hello. So I am here today because of a oversight that I made in the hours that the testing facility was open on, I don't know what date, but it was a Saturday, and I don't normally, I mean, normally I get called Monday through Friday, but this was like the second Saturday since I've started the UAs that I had to test that day, and I, exactly what happened is I called my number at 5:30 in the morning. It was my testing day, which I figured it would be since I hadn't gotten called Monday through Friday. And so, like, right then and there, I put a reminder in my phone for noon, and then I was carpooling my daughter and her three friends to a volleyball clinic that morning from 9 to 11 in, like, deep Chino Valley, like, way out Perkinsville Road. So it took 45 minutes to get there. So I just stayed out there during the clinic and then brought them all home and dropped them all off. And then I went to Fry's, and while I was in Fry's, my email popped up, and it was Victoria saying what happened, you know, because she got an email saying I failed to appear for my test. So as a side note, my reminder that I put in my phone did come through at 12 a.m., because I obviously screwed that up, and so I got that the next morning. But it was in that moment when I got her email that I realized that the testing hours on Saturdays, instead of being from 11 to 7 p.m., they were from 9 to 12. And so at that point, I am freaking out, especially because you guys have given me this chance. And I then got a call from my lawyer saying, what the hell happened? And so while I know Victoria can't tell me what to do, both her and my lawyer said it would be really good if you could get some testing done today somewhere. So I called the, I started calling around because I didn't really know who to call. So I called the urgent cares in Prescott. One of them has closed, or the labs. So I talked to the urgent care in Prescott and I said, do you do drug and alcohol testing? They said, yes, but we close at 4 and all our appointments are taken. At which point I called the Peoria location. They got me a 4 o'clock appointment, so I drove down to Peoria, and when I got there and was paying, you know, to do the testing, they said, we don't do the ETG test, the alcohol that has the metabolites. So I went ahead and did the urine drug test, but I said, well, when I called, you guys said you did alcohol testing, and she said, yeah, we do breathalyzers. But our breathalyzer certified technician is not here. And so at that point, I said, well, can you call your other locations? And so she called 4 other locations. They didn't have a certified tech there. So then I got creative and said, well, maybe the police station, because short of getting pulled over intentionally, acting drunk and getting a breathalyzer, I wanted to have something to show you guys in terms of alcohol, because I know that's the main issue. And I know the breathalyzer is not the same as an ETG test, but I couldn't get an ETG test. So I went to Peoria Police Station. The website said they were open, they were closed. So at that point, I just drove home and went to the Prescott Police Department and got an officer there, one of their guys that's there overnight, to give me a breathalyzer, and right, you know, you should have that documentation that I blew a 0000. And then I was planning on testing anyway because of this. I let Victoria know I'm going to go test on Monday and do my normal test, regardless of if it's my day or not. And then it just so happened that following Monday was my day for that week, so I tested that following Monday normally. But this is just, I can tell you, this was just like a stupid oversight on my part with the hours. And that's all, I won't do it again, because I've learned yet another lesson the hard way running around Phoenix trying to get someone to breathalyze me. And I did what I could, hoping that the board could see that I tried.
I appreciate the effort you made. The concern is that your consent agreement was signed in July. In August, we had a pop drug test positive, and then in September, we had a no-show. So we're not developing a very good record here. And that is, when you're just starting out, that's really rough. There can be stumbles along the way, but in your first 2 months under a consent agreement, this doesn't look good. So I would like to make a motion to offer an amended consent agreement to do the following. Remove the eligibility for early termination from probation, which was included in the consent agreement of 2 years, because we've gotten off to a bad start. So, I mean, reviewing it in another 18 months is not gonna, it's still gonna reflect that. So you're under 5 years probation for the consent agreement. Also, I went back and reviewed a previous consent agreement that you had with this board in 2008, mm-hmm. and found that after treatment, you were ordered to go through weekly drug testing. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to add that to the amended consent agreement for a 6-month period.
I've been doing that.
You've been doing it weekly?
Yeah. I have.
Okay. Well, I don't know that the consent agreement required that when I looked at it, so. But correct me if I'm wrong, Victoria. If not, I'd like that added in, that it would be weekly for the next 6 months, and then review for possible step down. And also, I'd like those two episodes, the positive and the no-show, to be shared with the two treating, I think it's Dr. Goff? Is it?
Dr. Vaughn.
Okay, yes. I can't read my own handwriting. And Ms. Montgomery.
Yep, I've shared both of them with my therapist, Ms. Montgomery, and I have an appointment with Dr. Vaughn next week, I believe, and I'll share this most recent one with her. She also already knows about the other one.
What about the no-show?
That's the one I will let, well, it was a no-show that I tried to show.
Anyway. Appreciate that, but.
Jane, can I ask, so I know, are we talking about two no, I only remember the no-show from the one she was telling us about.
Right? Yes, the one the end of this September.
Okay, you're referencing.
Yes, that's
one
I'm
referring to.
Yeah, there was, the positive was in August, and the no-show was in September.
Yes.
And the consent agreement was signed in July. So those are the amendments I would like to add to an amended, to have an amended consent agreement. And then I have some questions on the counsel and the receiver, which I can go ahead if there's, we can have a second on the motion and then I'll continue my questions.
I want to clarify a couple things for my own. I'm looking at the consent agreement, and the random drug screening was a minimum of once a month, and she's been doing it weekly. So you're changing the consent agreement to be weekly
for
the
six
next
months.
6 months.
Correct.
What she's already doing. Right?
She's just not, you're just not reporting each week.
Right.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are? Oh,
she's getting weekly report.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're in there. So that's really no change from what you're doing
right
today.
Yeah.
It's just going to be in the consent agreement.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And then the first part of what you were saying is, at 2 years, we have the option to step down, and you're saying you want to remove that option at 2 years. Why would we want to do that? Because we don't know what's going to happen between now and 2 years.
Because we got, again, the consent agreement was signed in July, the positive drug test was in August, and the no-show was in September. We are not off to a strong start.
I hear you on that, but I'm not sure that doing anything at 2 years when we're 2 months in really helps me at all. Like, I don't know how that's really changing anything. I mean, I think at 2 years when we go to step down, we can look at that and say, we've had some rough go here. We may not want to step it down, but not allowing us that opportunity at 2 years doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Yes, it's not a default. It's just an option.
It's an option for us to do it, right? Not that it's going to happen.
I mean, you could always go back and re-amend, but that's a lot harder than leaving it as it is right now.
Right.
I know, and that's a good question, because, yeah, that's one that it's... I understand, I agree completely, so I want to make sure we're taking this seriously. And it sounds like you're trying to, but like I said, yeah, that's not good. But our goal is to kind of get past it and do this, but I don't know what time your hands either.
And I would also say, like, the fact that she is going weekly is giving us more information, and it's more likely that you're going to have a mishap of, like, not showing, because you're going... If she hadn't been going weekly, she might not have been called that time. You know what I mean? Like, it might have been that she's getting called weekly and going weekly. If it was monthly, this may not have even happened on a Saturday.
And she may want to ask her if she's ever had to go on a Saturday, which is why I don't think she has, which is why she didn't know the hours were different.
Like, I guess what I'm hearing is, yes, Jane, I agree. This is not off to a great start. What I'm hearing from Dr. Pauletto is that the Saturday thing was really just really bad oversight. And I'm not so sure I want to make any significant changes for 2 years down the road based off of that. I agree with the weekly and going 6 months on the weekly, but
I'll drop that from the motion.
Yeah, and this is where historical knowledge comes in. I mean, we don't have a built-in, this is your one type thing.
Right.
UCA, but this is pretty much your one for the last 5 years. So make sure, like I said, we're doing it the right way. We know you want to.
This will still be here for anything else when we do the TV review.
Yeah, exactly.
So I hear what you're saying.
So I'll also be here.
I want to revise my motion to have it be to amend the consent agreement to require weekly drug testing for the next 6 months, and then based on review, possible step down.
Do you want drug testing or just alcohol testing or both?
Pardon?
Want alcohol testing, drug testing, or both?
The whole bailiwick. Not just alcohol. The initial case that came before us was drug-related. The previous case
in a
was...
In very unusual circumstances.
Yeah.
The previous case was drug... The previous case under which she was under a consent agreement was drug-related. And the most recent problem was alcohol. So I say...
Well, because right now we're doing... testing twice a month, you say?
Once a month. For the consent agreement,
so,
it's once a month.
But she's doing it weekly, and you guys have the tests that show that she's weekly.
What if we did kind of like we've done before, because it's going to start getting expensive to do that too. I mean, alcohol testing.
It's $130 a week.
Yeah, so if we did alcohol testing alone each week, but then we did like a hair sample or a nail sample, that would give us a longer historical knowledge once
absolutely
a month.
Absolutely, that would serve. Yes.
That'll save you.
That covers like, what, a 90-day period? I don't recall exactly, Victoria. Do you remember?
My nails grow slow, so could be.
I don't remember.
But it's longer than...
I could be confusing it with A1C.
But I'd be comfortable with that each month. That would give us, I think, a better knowledge on drugs, if we could test everything that way.
But in this moment, you don't have any evidence or any reason to believe that she is using those substances.
No.
So this seems like a step... too far at this moment when you don't have that. All you have is that she didn't know what the hours were of the clinic and didn't get there, but then she immediately tried to rectify that problem.
So
she went far beyond anybody, what I've already seen anybody else do.
I agree. What are you currently
you testing weekly now, just alcohol?
No, I'm testing, it's a five-way, so it's amphetamines, opioids, benzos, marijuana, and cocaine, and ETG.
That's because of your counselors, or what's the reason for that for you, or what's the reason you decided?
You know, I just assumed that's what I needed, that, because there's no, like, script or anything that I hand the testing facility. They ask me what I am testing for, so that's what I...
So even though we said once a month, you're doing it once a week?
Yeah.
Just because you thought maybe that's what you're supposed to do?
I guess.
So then your counselor said yes or no? You have to do that for them?
No. I thought it was for you guys, and I think at my previous agreement might have said weekly, but then this yes. most recent one went to monthly, which I overlooked that and just continued doing it weekly.
Well, can we do, does Naomi here, all that, does it cover alcohol and other metabolites, like long-term too, do you know? I mean, what if we just switch to that for 6 months, then it gives us a month covered each time, and then go back to what it was from there, so it's still testing.
I don't know if the alcohol shows up.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
Pardon?
I don't think it
does. Okay.
I mean, Mark, if we keep doing what she's doing, but do it once a month, and then on the other 3 weeks of the month, we just give alcohol testing. I would good with that.
But it's still separate out from what she's doing voluntarily right now.
Right.
But it memorializes it. Yeah.
Right. And we would make it required for 6 months.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then review.
But that would decrease her cost a little bit because she can just go to alcohol.
Right.
Like,
three out of the four.
And then once, so weekly for alcohol testing and once a month for substance testing.
Via hair or just what I'm doing now, like the urine?
I'm fine with what you're doing now. But.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like someone I was reading through this stuff before today, I was thinking different stuff.
Okay.
She sounds cognizant and aware. I think she's trying to do the right thing here. So, yeah, I understand, and I agree with you. I understand. But, yeah, I think we can find some middle ground to play and not be so crazy. But if we see something else happen again.
Okay. My concern is that if we do the hair test or a nail test once a month, that will cover that month as far as use of everything other than alcohol, from what I understand. So we would do the weekly alcohol testing and then the once a month substance abuse testing. And that would go on for 6 months.
I mean, since you're already doing weekly, would you be willing to sign something saying alcohol once a week?
I'm good with
any of
that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
I mean, sure. I think it's fair to her, too.
Okay. Hope you don't.
I have to find out where to get the hair testing done. I'm assuming it's the same place. And then they're going to say, what are we testing for? And I am just going to say the five main things.
Same thing I'm peeing in a cup for.
The same thing that, yeah.
Illegal drugs,
yeah.
Controlled drugs.
Yeah.
So we can talk about
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're happy with that,
yeah.
I think that would satisfy most of us here in equities category. And then we just move on and keep putting this behind us.
Right. So that would be the amended consent agreement. And if not signed within 30 days, it goes to inform. Is there a second? Pardon?
That's your motion?
Yep.
Okay. Second.
Second.
Ah, you're just trying to steal that from.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I do
all
have an
opposed?
Additional.
Sorry.
Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes.
We could. Ms. Frost is retreated. Dr. James is an aye. Dr. McConnelly?
Aye.
Ms. Ullman?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Ray?
Aye.
I do have a quick follow-up question. Are you receiving substance abuse counseling from both professionals you're dealing with? From one, does one specialize in that more than the other? Who's providing the substance abuse counseling?
I mean, they're
if
both
anybody.
Aware, totally aware of everything. I would say that substance abuse counseling comes from my AA meetings more than anything. I do, my therapist has had me do EMDR stuff around cravings and, you know, that kind of stuff. And my psychiatrist has me taking gabapentin, so she's working to help reduce the likelihood of me having issues with substances. So they're both approaching it differently, one more medically and one more therapy.
Gotcha.
Plus the AA meeting.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just to kind of talk about what some of you said before, like I said, we're coming up on the holidays and stuff, and always things seem a little stressful and hard at that. Like I said, I'm happy that I'm seeing you here. I mean, you seem
Thank
like
you.
you're doing well, yeah, because we, especially in the beginnings of these things, we see people coming in, and you can tell they're in dark places and not doing well. So I appreciate that. Just make sure if you need any resources, you kind of set those up. Just like back in vet school, you need to have your support system for those stressful times. So especially coming up and all that. But no, I'm glad to see that you're doing well. We'll make
Thank
sure we're
you.
All doing the right thing. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
So if we get a hiccup, then we'll get this done and never happen again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So next we're going to go to section 5, number 3A. And this one was a civil license. A technician of equivalency. She did provide a comparison of courses of the Penn Foster program to where she went, which is Southern Illinois University. They don't match up, so she didn't say, like, 1 hour this equals this. And so I tried to, like, say how many of these are in close enough. There are certainly pieces that don't match up. But I think that's probably always been our case when we're trying to go from a technician-specific program to a college.
General.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see anything in here. I mean, it feels like she has a pretty good background. She's had hands-on experience. I mean, I would be comfortable approving her, but I don't, one, usually do these, and two, I don't see exact comparison. So as long as we're okay with that, I would make a motion.
Yeah, I mean, we have lab courses in here, the animal histology. I agree. It's, you can't ever have an equivalent to me. I remember that with vet school, I couldn't have gone to Kansas State because I couldn't take one specific embryology course. You're never going to have anything exact. Yeah, based on what I'm seeing, your general knowledge and some medical terminologies, these kinds of things, I agree. I think it's...
I'm trying to find the record. Did she receive a degree?
Major graduation?
Degree award in Bachelor of Arts, December 14, 2014.
You've done Bachelor of Science before, and avoided that to be okay. I don't know about Bachelor of Arts, you're going more into what was the coursework.
This does have a lot of science, animal behavior, medical terminology, biology, genetics, cellular biology. Like, there's a lot of science in her course curriculum that she listed.
And to me, looking at the laboratory things, because that's the practical application of knowledge, and didactic's always a fun one. But when you can do well in the laboratories, to help you do well in the hospital, because you can follow directions and that kind of stuff, that would be my idea.
All right, so then in this one, I would make a motion that we approve the equivalency for, this is just for her to apply for her CDP exam.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. And any opposed? My motion passes.
We're waiting for Ms. Frost to come.
We want Ms. Frost to come back now.
Yes.
Nothing else to kick her out for?
I thought there were three things, but there's only two.
It's the
C-9.
I was like, wait, I thought there were three.
Yeah.
We're a little ahead, but I think that our next IC interview is here. So we have Irene Brady Medium. Go ahead and come forward. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Irene Brady. McMahon is my legal last name. married to my husband for 5 years, have 5 kids, between kids and stepkids, been licensed to practice in Arizona for 27 years, total out of school for 30, own my own practice in Mesa, Arizona for 25 years. Small animal, dog, cat, only.
And thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your time.
Why do you want to serve on the investigative committee?
It's a great question. So I have 5 kids, youngest now is 19. I did apply for the investigative committee 3 years ago when they were all starting to empty nest us and make us lonely. I have been part-time as a veterinarian for the last 4 or 5 years, only working between 20 and 30-ish hours a week, looking for other ways to contribute to the community. Looked into doing some spay-neuter programs out of the country and things like that. However, family obligations have kept me local. So I think that this would be a good way for me to participate in the veteran community as well as help service the community.
And what is it you feel you bring to investigative committee?
Yeah, so I have been to a couple investigative committees meetings. Unfortunately, I've been invited, and you probably heard my name last month because I just got a committee request dismissed. And I find all very much so that when I've attended the meetings, whether been asked to attend or just showed up, I learned so much about practicing in the community, about what the community concerns are, as well as how I can be a better doctor. I also bring, with 5 kids, I bring a sense of how to manage high emotions, which I think is something that comes into the investigative committee and obviously here for you all. I also always strive to do the right thing. So I think that even though sometimes the right thing is hard to do, I always am going to try to make sure that the right things are done and that I'm very transparent in the way I live my life. I also approach things with a very positive attitude overall, and I think that you guys do a fabulous job because I think we are the only system of checks and balances to our profession, and if we don't do these things as difficult as it could be, there's nobody looking over our shoulders. Things can go awry, and that's definitely not what I want for our profession.
Now, the meetings can go up to an entire, last up to an entire day. They're usually held the first Tuesday of the month, but not always because of holidays. And there is preparatory time. I want to say prep time. But do you have any problem making those commitments to prepare and to attend the meetings?
No. I have some plans that are already out there. I don't know when all the meetings are, but I certainly, I did Boy Scouts with my kids. I did Girl Scouts with my girls. I've always made everything a priority. And if I already had something planned and I was flexible, I'd obviously flex it out. But I don't call in sick, I don't miss a shift. I worked before I came here, I got called in for 4 hours because they had to do emergency surgery. I'm always willing to participate.
So you would make the IC a priority.
Absolutely.
In your busy...
Truly, it's not as busy, but yes, absolutely. I'd like to be a little busier in things I enjoy doing.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, I would make it a priority.
Do any of the board members have any questions?
How do you survive 27 years of practice ownership?
No. I honestly, you should visit my practice. Our practice motto is to be part of the extended family of my clients. We turn away people who are nasty and horrible to us, so we only choose to develop relationships with people who enjoy us. We really try to have a very transparent team. I took my whole team to Vegas, to Western Conference last year, and hopefully again we'll do this year. We have a really strong team. I've got a doctor who's been with me for 3 years. We're recruiting. We're interviewing another doctor on Friday. I love what I do, and I think that as long as I can continue to practice without the full-time emotional burden that comes along with that and the physical toll it takes on my body, I will continue to do my best to participate in this profession. I love what I do. I don't want to stop working. Not right now. Not for a while. And I hope that I can pass my practice on, not to a corporation, but to another younger veterinarian at some point when the time is right, because we need one of those for sure.
You just do dog cats?
Yeah, I do dog and cats. A few months ago, my associate wanted to delve into some small animals. She wanted to do some goats medicine, and so we extended our premise license to do some house call and some large animal medicine, but we've not really developed that yet. So I think we saw two goats there. I wasn't there, but I did run in to get my picture taken with one because I think they're cute.
It's like we do in fish medicine. I can't establish a practice on that, but yes. It's fun to do surgery.
It's fun on the side.
Well, thank you, Dr. Brady, for being here. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for everything that you guys do.
Thank you. And Victoria will be getting back to you.
They are going to be speaking to some other people at the November meeting.
Awesome.
So it's going to be just another month.
It's fine. Whatever works out best for you all. I appreciate your time and appreciate everything that you guys do.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Victoria, how many vacancies do we have for BBMs on the ICs? On the IBM down there's only one IC. We have one. That's one.
Wow. Yeah. And is it better as a layperson, or how does it? Is it better layperson, or how is it differentiated on the IC, like the open spot?
It's a veterinarian.
Okay, so it's only veterinarian. Okay, yeah, so they're all going to be veterinarian.
So now we're on section 3, number 4. We don't have the court reporter, but if you don't, please.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
Which one are we?
So we're on section 3, number 4, case 24143 regarding Brian Hader, DVM, continuance of informal interview of September 18th, 2024, for the purpose of receiving additional information, reviewing possible action to approve proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and adopting an order. Ms. Solomon, you wrote the.
Yes. Yes. We found a violation last month, as it was, which was passed unanimously, and it was a violation of ARS 3222.18 as it relates to ARS 3222.72b2 for not residing in Arizona while being the responsible veterinarian premise license holder of a premise as required. And again, that was passed unanimously by the board. I am looking at this, I think a decree of censure would, I don't think we need a consent agreement. He's already gone to an extensive moving back to the state of Arizona in order to fulfill the responsibilities of the responsible veterinarian. So I would just make a motion that we do a decree of censure based on that violation.
I think you have to adopt the proposed findings of facts.
Thank you. It's getting late. Okay. The proposed findings of fact, I'm going to have to go back. They're in the draft consent agreement,
yeah.
Correct?
It's okay. Not, it's a board of order.
So they're already written down, so we just have to accept them.
Yeah.
We just have to accept them. You
just
have to vote to accept
them. Okay, yeah. I move we accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Second.
What can be voice?
A voice vote. Madam Chair. Or Vice Chair.
A voice vote?
Yeah.
It can be
voice. It can be
oh,
voice.
It can't
not
be.
Roll
okay.
Call.
So I have
okay,
a motion
sorry.
And a second. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Okay, and then next would be the censure.
Yeah.
Okay, and I move that we do a decree of censure for Dr. Hader based on that violation and the fact that he has already remedied the situation.
So a motion?
No, second.
That's
sorry.
Fine.
So a motion and a second. We can roll call. Okay.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Mosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, so motion passes. So that concludes that.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So now moving on, do we have quorum for section 4, number 5, the Dr. Wright and Dr. Thompson issues? So we'll have to table that next month.
Ten on number 5.
So number 4, or section 4, number 7, case 2408.
regarding Dwight Vinesh, DVM, board may agree to discuss and take action to rescind motion of September 18, 2024 to offer an amended consent agreement related to submitting a report outlining steps taken to rectify controlled substances discrepancies, and we dismiss all.
Yes, yes. Last month, the board adopted a motion to amend the consent agreement to require, memorialize and require the report that was to be submitted regarding discrepancies in controlled substances. In the meantime, a special arrangement was negotiated by staff to have Dr. Vinesh voluntarily submit that and not require a consent agreement. So, based on that, there would be no action on a consent agreement. We have to actually rescind the previous motion.
So my understanding is that the attorney did agree that they would...
Right. Yeah, there's been a side agreement. Right.
Madam Chair, at the time when the attorney was here, she, during her speaking to the board, she said that they were working on the report, and the practice monitor's report says the same thing.
So we have a motion to rescind.
To rescind.
A second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we vote to this one?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Section 4, number 8, again, case 2408, regarding Dwight Vinesh, DVM, board may review, discuss, and take action on practice monitor report submitted in compliance with consent agreement.
Yes, the October practice monitor's report looked very positive. There was only one small hiccup on a recording of the temperature. Other than that, it was perfect.
Where's the book for me to throw?
Pardon?
Where's the book for me to throw?
Throw the book at
That's good, yeah, I like the end.
Yeah, so then I say no action taken, and it's taken us a while to get here, but we got it.
Yeah. Now we just add, how long is the monitor going on for now?
It got extended for
another, yeah.
So we'll see some maintenance on it.
If I recall, the agreement was signed in November. With Dr. Vinesh? And so we extended the 12 months to 18 months.
Okay, because I remember there was a lot. So we'll see some more, and hopefully we can maintain, and we're good to go.
Yeah.
It's now over in May of 2025.
May.
Oh, okay.
May. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
So we're on section 5, number 5, Assistant Attorney General report of a 2024 legislative update.
There's nothing that directly.
There was nothing that directly impacted us. Yeah, that's right. There were just a few bills that comprised the memo. I don't know if you've had a chance to read it. There's nothing that directly affected the board directly. So I don't know if anybody has any questions.
No, just how do we get it next year?
Pardon?
How do we do that again next year?
Well, we'll see how not to get political, we'll see how the elections come out in a couple of weeks.
Well, if one of the ballot measures passes, healthcare professionals, which I believe includes veterinarians, would be doing abortions.
Next agenda item.
Section 5, number 6, board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary applications. This is in supplement 1. So the first is Timothy Warner, DVM. This one, there's a little pickup because, and Victoria may explain this better, but Idaho lost all of their historical license information and their current
correct, they only have information going back 5 years, and since his license had lapsed prior to that, they can't do what they normally would do. What we're asking them is to provide a license verification. So our rules require that in an application, that the applicant causes another state board to send us a verification. And it's just an impossibility at this point. So ideally, we wouldn't want to hold up his application because of this.
But we did get the other states back, which there were no issues. Right. And we did get a response from Idaho saying, you lost it, we're looking into it. So it wasn't, you know, there wasn't absolutely no information, just that they don't have it. So
that's all licenses, that's not just this one, right?
Correct. If it's over 5 years, yeah, that's super fun for them. So I would make a motion to approve his application given the circumstances. I think we could ask him to keep us updated if, you know, in a year.
Yeah,
why not? He can voluntary to keep us updated. So anyway, that's my motion.
Second.
Alright, so motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The next one, also a supplement one. So this one had a board order with the state of California. And they're serious about their orders. That's a lot. And that's 3 years of a lot. Now his explanation was that he may offend them. If he's complying with that, then that's good enough for me. So I make a motion to approve his application, just directing him to provide the update when he's
when you read the details of the case, then it's more than just.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, yeah, but. There's a lot to it.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But he's complying with it. So I guess my request would be to approve his application, but to ask him to keep us updated when his probation is over and the order is complete.
I think there was something in the, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, in the California agreement that said if he left the state of California and practiced elsewhere for more than a certain period of time, then he needed to be, that California was saying he had to be put on probation here.
I know.
It's like authority.
Yeah. Yeah. No. They got all that. But the thing is we get to do what we do. I think if that is okay with everybody else, my motion would be that he keeps us apprised of the situation with that state and progress with the probation and completion of the order.
And do you want him to do that within 30 days of the completion of the order?
Oh, within 30 days would be great. So that's my motion.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Okay. Board may review, or section 5, number 7, board may review, discuss, and take action on Recovery Check LLC service agreement regarding drug, alcohol testing, and monitoring services for licensees. This is in Supplement 1 in Victoria.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Recovery Check is the program that Dr. Miracle referenced earlier in her visit this morning. This is the program that she would like to use. There is no cost to the agency, but they do require us to enter into an agreement with them. We haven't done this before with this type of program.